It's time for Caffeinated Comics, a lively discussion and debate on comics, film, television, and collectibles, all fueled by the magic of Frappuccinos. Caffeinated Comics is sponsored by Chimera's Comics. Located in LaGrange, Illinois, Chimera's is your one stop for comic books, graphic novels, hero clicks, Magic the Gathering, and more. Explore the fantastic at Chimera's Comics. And now, here's your hosts, John and Steven.
Thank you. This is Caffeinated Comics. I'm your host, John Clark. With me, as always, is my co-host,
Steven Brown.
And this is the first time we're doing it. It's kind of someone's house. We're in the comedy condo at Zany's. Because Mike Lawrence is back.
Yeah.
And this time he's not on the phone.
Yeah.
It's a satellite podcast.
Yeah.
So much better in person. I listen to Stone Cold's podcast.
Wait.
It's my two favorite things.
Stone Cold.
Does he have his own podcast or he was on?
He does. And it's mostly all phone interviews.
Who does he talk to?
Old wrestlers.
That's awesome.
Oh, guys that like can't stand up anymore?
Yeah.
They're phoning it in person. So they're already...
They don't know how to do anything else than phone it in at this point.
Yeah.
Hearing Bret Hart, but on a phone interview where he's like, you know, my brother, things were sad.
Oh, shit. That's crazy.
Yeah, I imagine that that wrestlers are kind of like old...
I actually...
Like old leading men. That they're like, I don't know what to do now.
Well, I think they always
I'm not so big.
Billy Zane, you know.
Yeah.
You put me in that phantom suit and I'll be as good as any of these punks.
Yeah. But I think with like wrestling, it's like, you know, they all retire. You know, you have to retire, you get like so many beat up. And then these guys are retired and then like Roddy Piper was like tweeting, and which is incredible that he knows how to use Twitter. He's like, hey, if Hulk Hogan comes back, I'll fight him at like WrestleMania 30 or whatever it is. And it's like, you're retired, man. You're an alcoholic. Like, you're beat up. Hulk Hogan can't even stand up, probably, you know?
Well, you posted that picture of Hulk Hogan after the roids, and I don't think I'd ever seen him skinny before.
Oh, it's amazing. That's in 93 after the steroid trials. He comes back and wrestles Yokozuna, and they even mention on the commentary... He's like looking as, you know, brisk and lean and mean as he's ever been. And one guy goes, I think it's his strategy that he wanted to purposely lose weight to maneuver around the girthy Yokozuna.
So it's like Spider-Man fighting the rhino?
He's trying to like come up with a reason why he's like completely almost a different person.
Hogan actually climbs up on his shoulders and punches him in the face and then between his legs.
He shouldn't be called Hulk Hogan when he looks like that. He should be Banner Hogan.
Is that why he went to Hollywood Hogan?
I think eventually...
Yeah, why did he... Well, I guess
I heard that they had to pay Marvel every year for the word Hulk.
Yeah.
It would
always be copyright and then you'd see at the bottom.
Yeah. Because I think he wanted the other company, but like him going to DC.
Well, that's
Comics.
When he started painting his beard black, but kept his mustache yellow. He looked like an Italian pastry.
That's the thing about wrestlers too, is they have more hair care products than anybody
else. Yeah,
bleach and
I think it comes from the '80s.
Like, it's all like hair, and then like they're shaving their legs.
They couldn't
and
wear capes
and, like,
anymore.
Waxing and all this
and
stuff.
Tanning
it's like,
and
they
stuff.
Do all this crazy.
I saw Netflix has a documentary on Glow. Did you see that?
Yeah, I did watch that.
Gorgeous Ladies of Wrestling was this. It was ladies wrestling in the 80s. They would show it on Saturday night. And I'm older than both of you. It ushered me right into puberty. The first time I ever saw it was Americana and the Russian were just in skin tights and rolling around on the ring. And I was like, I'm going to watch this forever.
Yeah.
And what's great is that they show, you know, I love documentaries like that on Netflix because they always have to make you believe that whatever they did was the most important thing. And it's way bigger than it was. That, you know, you just looked at it as like the first deposit in the spank bank.
Yeah.
For them, they're like, and we ushered in a new era of wrestling and feminism. And, you know, and it's like, and people just couldn't wait to see the athleticism on display.
Yeah, that's what it was.
Titties.
That's a good one.
But it's like,
but then you looked at them, and the subtitles always said, like, Americana, real estate agent. So it's like, of course, they're going to go back to that moment and build it up.
Yeah, that's incredible.
And then the really, really fat, Polynesian woman who's in...
Oh, he can't get out of a wheelchair. She's crying all the time.
You keep
Mountain Fiji.
I'm so upset because you keep thinking it's going to end with her dying, and it doesn't. Because even, like, there's,
so
like...
So you were disappointed with the ending, even though it was a documentary?
Right.
I at least thought she was going to murder a trainer from SeaWorld or something. But even
jump over a little boy and land on him.
The camera that they use on her is different than all the other cameras. And there's, like, a sepia to it and, like, a shakiness.
Yes, that's
it's
awesome.
It's like a 28 days later.
Kind of it did kind of look like it was found footage.
It's, like, gritty.
Like, she actually died 10 years ago.
Exactly.
This is all we had. It's VHS.
Dude, Danny Boyle directed the Mount Fuji scenes.
She got something in her eyes, started shaking. That's why she got into wrestling, I think.
Sometimes the mountain has already erupted.
Yeah, GLOW is about all I know about wrestling. GLOW and the bendy figures that Jax made.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I think
although
I
did have to, when I worked at Art Asylum, when I was writing at the toy studio, when I needed extra money, they let me paint, and I painted a Venom, and I painted a Sting. And that's as close as I would get, because they were both all black.
Right.
You only painted things that 300-pound Puerto Ricans would wear on print t-shirts.
Exactly right.
Yeah.
Maybe that's why I didn't work out so well. Skinny Irish Catholic guy. The wrong demographic.
Well, the Cholos really believe in YOLO, and that's why they don't live so long.
Because they only live once, and not that long. So it really should be YOLO A-N-T-L.
Big pun was a done in one. It was a giant size, but just one.
Yes, we have no topic, and I've run out of things to say about wrestling.
He was a Treasury edition size.
Oh, the 70s newsstand. It's like when Superman fought Spider-Man.
Yeah.
That was a big pun. So, Mike, is this your first time playing in Chicago, or have you been here before?
I did JFL in 2012.
Oh, okay.
That rhymed.
Yeah.
Slant rhyme.
Wasn't deliberate.
Yeah, but Mike is headlining Zanies tonight, and I would plug that, except by the time it goes out, you're gone.
Yeah, you'll be done.
I'll be dead.
This show has a surprise twist.
This is the best podcast ever. This is your you have a podcast, and we will have your last recorded moments.
This is the Amazing Spider-Man 122 a podcast. Someone in this podcast will die. Sorry, but that's 121, right?
121 is
yeah,
the turning
point. Yeah, he's swinging into a portfolio picture of all his friends.
Yeah.
And it's like Joe Robertson's in there and Aunt Anna, and it's like, which is the one that'll make this comic worth money?
Yeah. Robertson's like, if Mark Millar wrote this, I'd be the one dead.
I don't understand. They always put, like, all his, like, people up like that, like, all his, like, supporting cast. It's like, can fucking Aunt May just die already? Like,
She did! She did!
No,
she died twice!
For good, though, like...
Her death was the only good thing in the Clone Saga. Yeah.
And that was a good issue. That was Jim DeMatteis.
Yeah, I love him.
Yeah, they need to vent Parker, that woman.
He was on our podcast, like, a month or two ago. He was fantastic.
Yeah.
A really, really good guy. But that was the best issue of the Clone Saga. Did you ever read that one?
No, I tried to stay away from it.
Aunt May dies...
Issue 400.
Issue 400 is the one with the big tombstone on it.
Yeah.
It was like a die-cut tombstone.
And oh, and it was like a holographic or something?
Yeah, it was like embossed. Because it's the 90s.
Fuck
but
the
she 90s. She tells Peter that she always knew he was Spider-Man. Yeah. And there was like...
Didn't they do that? Didn't
Mary Jane
Straczynski do that where he's like... She's like, discovers he's Peter Park, or she's Spider-Man, she has like no idea.
Yeah, because they rebooted that, so they got to do that moment again, except this time she never knew.
Well, the first time they did that was... I think it was issue 89 or 90 with George Stacy.
Yeah.
Where he's like, take care of her, Peter.
Yeah. I always knew.
And I was just watching.
He's just not good at hiding his identity.
I was just watching the Raimi Spider-Mans again, and they have a moment with Joe Robertson every single time. It's like, I heard Spider-Man was there!
Yeah.
And then he just stares at him, and they never pay it off.
And you think, like, you know, there's other people in the newsroom, like J. Jonah Jameson, you don't think would be like, what are you talking about? You know, he wouldn't, like, ask him, like, what does that mean?
I'm a newsman, why?
Right.
Why do you keep looking at Parker and talking about Spider-Man? Because of the pictures? He's bringing in pictures?
What if it is that everybody knows that he is, but they just humor him?
They just let it happen.
Believe, they're like, yeah, we knew it.
Yeah.
You take your own pictures, dumbass.
Right, you know.
Well, I was just reading, I'd never read this before, but I found him on eBay. I just read all of Friendly Neighborhood Spider-Man, which came at a pretty unfortunate time because it starts with the other, and
this
then
is
it goes
Peter
into,
David, yeah,
yeah, and it goes into the Iron Spider-Man, and then it goes into Civil War, and then Back in
Black,
and then One More Day, and it's canceled. So it was through all these shitty crossovers.
Yeah.
But he wrote really good stories. Waringo did a bunch of those. But I was just reading today, like the Back in Black stories, where he has to face everybody. Like, everybody at the Bugle. Now they all know he's Peter Parker.
Yeah.
And, like, J. Jonah Jameson is, like, so pissed that he's like, we're going to run him into the ground. And Joe Robertson stands up for him and gets fired.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then, like, Betty Brant has a moment with him. And she's like, and he's like, well, how do you feel about it? He's like, do you feel like I was lying to you? She's like, no, she's actually said what you said. He's like, you're the worst at hiding your identity ever. We were just all too stupid to know what was going
right.
on.
But yeah, I mean, how many times, and you know, I made fun of it in the Sam Raimi movies, and it's in the new one too, where it's like, his mask's off like every 10 minutes. And
yeah,
it's like, and I'm like, oh,
that's
stupid.
That's a Hollywood thing.
Because that's a contract
face.
Yeah.
People need to know I'm the actor.
Right.
People need
like,
to know I did weight. Because
the fucking poster doesn't tell us enough. But then it's like, that's the same thing in the comic where it's like, yeah. He doesn't go 30 issues without his fucking mask coming off or showing a subway full of people who he is. And
yeah.
then they're just like, ah, oh, that guy with brown hair.
Taking
he could be anybody.
Good, honest work from Filipino stuntmen who can use that money.
Right.
That motherfucker.
It won't look like Miles Morales.
Yeah.
They could have gone that route.
Yeah.
Is that a surf ninja? Is that Ernie Reyes Jr.? Under
Ernie Reyes Jr. from Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles 2.
Yeah.
Who played a Filipino kid that just fought next to turtles.
Yeah. Named Ernie. He played himself.
He was the Tony Danza of Ninja Turtle movies.
I always love when an actor is given their own name in a movie because it just... It makes me think of that Simpson episode where it's like, yes, Mr. Thompson. And then it's like, what? I think he's talking to you. Or they just don't know.
Well,
Tony
Danza actually said on one of the Taxi DVDs, his name was like originally like Louis Banter. He had a different name. And they said, oh, you changed your name to Tony. That must mean you really like me for this part. They go, no, he just didn't think he'd turn around when we said another name.
He just like wouldn't be able to act and like remember.
Nope. You'd be like,
yeah, it's awesome.
There are very few men you can call dingbats, but Tony Danza.
he's on a short list.
He was in the producers when I was working the improv. I had a joke about that every night, which makes no sense now because he's not in it. But they went from Nathan Lane to Tony Danza.
I just saw Nathan Lane. It's, what the hell was he in? Can't remember, but yeah, he's like a big Broadway guy. Like he doesn't do a lot of movies anymore.
Well,
he's always in Broadway.
He always was.
Broderick.
And then he did a couple of movies. Yeah, I think Lion King kind of pushed him out.
Zack Snyder cast him as the Flash.
Right. Yeah. Oh yeah, because we were talking about what's his name. Everyone's losing their shit because what's his name's Lex.
Well,
Luthor.
Yeah, Jesse Eisenberg has been named as Lex Luthor.
Yeah, but then like remember everyone losing their marbles when like Heath Ledger got cast as the Joker, and they're like, oh, some fags.
That was
play.
The one time we were wrong. We were right about that.
Everything else you're right about that one time.
I remember the fur are over Michael Keaton. I think Michael Keaton was a good Bruce Wayne.
But those movies suck.
Yeah, what?
I still like the Burton movies.
The first one's good. That second one's
Batman kills people.
I like the second one because it's a crazy-ass Tim Burton movie.
That second
I like
one's
the second one for the same reason I like The Corpse Bride. For the exact same reason. That's all it is.
Fuck that movie.
It's a Tim Burton movie. Which
Baby in a Sewer, and that's how you're opening.
And it's Pee-wee Herman's is dead. That movie's a bowl of shit.
And I love that movie.
Fuck that movie.
It's
that is
crazy.
The most Tim Burton-y thing in the world, just drowning babies in it.
So I'm opening with drowning babies. That's right. There's a moment on the DVD where he talked on Batman Returns where they let him go loose because Batman was the biggest hit ever. They were like, do whatever you want.
Oh, my God.
They let him make Edward Scissorhands in between, and he was, like, just on top. And then he comes in with, like, Batman strapping bombs to human beings and throwing them in pits and babies being drowned
in
sewers.
It's so weird that Vincent Schiavelli as an organ grinder is one of the more mainstream.
But it's like, it wouldn't be so bad. Like, all right, you want to have Batman killing. Like, that's stupid, but okay. But then don't have him murdering, like, all these clowns. And at the end of the movie, give, like, Max Schreck a speech about, like, you can't murder people. And it's like, what do you mean?
Wait, he's not Christian Bale. Don't do the Christian Bale voice for Michael
Batman
Keaton.
Voice I've got. But it's just bullshit because it's like Max Schreck's this like big villain, but it's like, and he's gonna give him this like morality speech. It's like, you just blew up a clown in a sewer. Like, this poor guy is probably.
And he smiles at him too. He sticks it in his belt and he just goes,
right.
Yeah.
But then there's this moment where Tim Burton talks about the meeting he had after Batman Returns. First of all, they talk to Sam Hamm. Is it Sam Hamm wrote that one?
Yeah.
And they said you went in the theater when the credits rolled up, the lights came on, everyone looked like they'd been punched in the face.
The second one. A lot of dudes wrote that. I know the guy who
Warren
wrote Scarron
Heather's. Has a credit on that.
Yeah, a lot of people. But the dude who wrote Heather's was the first guy to get a crack at it.
Oh, yeah. That's true.
It's just so weird.
But it's like, you can tell.
Cat Powers because she fell on a kitty
That's
litter.
Crazy.
That, if you watch that scene, it's kind of weird because Catwoman gets like fucking... She gets like gangbanged by a bunch of fucking alley cats.
Well, they start eating her.
That's just really strange what's going on there. It's like, that's like a weird, like, fucking
fetish. I was watching
with
Ben, and Ben was trying to get me to explain it. He's like, why are the cats doing that? Well, they're turning her into Catwoman. And he's like, well, why is she acting like this now? Because she's crazy. Why is she crazy? Because Christopher Walken threw her out her window? Yeah. that would probably unhinge
me
for a while.
That's a tough 6-year-old. Like, because I think there are probably... like more graphic rated R movies that won't traumatize you as much as that.
Yeah, I am way too liberal in what I let him see. Way
He's
too
He's gonna
liberal.
Grow up to be the Penguin.
Well, yeah.
You're raising
basically
the Penguin.
Taking his childhood and putting it in a sewer. You're Paul Rubens.
I'm at the point now where I'm so lonely out here that other than this podcast, it's like I need somebody to watch things with me. So like
so
you're in the room.
Your 6-year-old child.
We watched The Producers this week. and then he was walking around the house singing Springtime for Hitler, and I told him, not outside.
No, just don't sing that out.
I hope like Child Services comes by and it's like you and him watching Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
he did tell me Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. is boring and he doesn't want to watch it anymore. And I'm like, yep, you and the rest of America.
He's a man now.
I think I robbed him
just
as a child.
Age.
Yeah, he just...
That's the worst.
Is anyone still watching that show?
I don't think so.
It's piling up on my DVR, and then I tend to watch it while I'm on eBay. Does that count?
No. You know, my parents watch everything. Like, they TiVo the shit out of, like, anything on TV.
Yeah.
And they're not watching Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. And it's just like, if my parents can't watch that, and they watch, like, every show out there, it's like...
And they're trying so hard, they're like, but it's Stan Lee and Sif and Deathlok.
Yeah.
And I'm like, the one thing I keep telling myself, and I'm losing it, is that every Joss Whedon show in the first season sucks. Except for Firefly, and because Firefly's canceled.
Only
one season. But like the first season of Buffy sucks. The first season of Angel's a mess. Dollhouse is crazy other than like 5 episodes. So I'm like, he made some great shows that were turds in their first season.
Yeah.
And I keep thinking, maybe in 2 years this thing's going to be great, but right now it's not easy.
I don't know the patience to wait for it.
They're not taking risk. Everyone's quippy. There's too much comic relief, and none of it's funny.
They don't seem very professional for S.H.I.E.L.D. agents.
No, and it's just not compelling. Like, in the third episode, they set up Graviton. It's like, no, this is your... Just give us fucking something. Give us Graviton. Like,
yeah.
You don't get to fucking wait. You are 3 hours into your show now.
We gotta have some villain.
Well, that's happened. A great point, too, because we're used to seasons that are 6 hours long. And they're still running on that 22-a-year engine.
Yeah.
So they're just like, you can wait for sweeps for this, and... It's just like, I'm not going to wait 5 episodes.
Oh, like, this event ties into Thor 2, and it's like...
It's like there's an Asgardian in it.
I don't care.
I saw that movie, you know?
It's like the first episode, there's like a black guy, and he gets like powers, and you know, and it's...
And that guy's going to be Deathlok now.
Oh, he is?
Yeah, that's what they announced this week. That guy's coming back. I guess they're going to put cyborg parts on him now.
Because it was going to, you know, because you thought, all right, maybe this would be Luke Cage or something. Like, oh, it's extremist, and oh, I don't care. And
yeah, you're making shit up.
None of it is fascinating. Like, even, like, putting Samuel L. Jackson in a cameo and having him just be a punchline. It's like, if you get him for 30 seconds, have him be a catalyst. Don't have him be a...
Well, that looks
jerk,
like...
Yeah.
Did you ever watch Young Indiana Jones?
Yeah.
It's
no.
not good, but there's one episode that Harrison Ford appears, and he's got his fugitive beard. So, like, it's Indiana Jones with this huge beard, because it's obviously had to be the same thing. This show's tanking. Please come on the show.
Yeah.
And they wrote him into an existing episode and, like, pulled scenes out and threw scenes in. And that's what I think they did with Samuel L. Jackson. I think they had a tag, And they were like, well, Samuel Jackson will kind of do anything.
Yeah.
If it takes less than 3 hours on a set, he'll come and do it.
Sure.
He'll do this podcast.
Yeah.
If he's around.
Right.
We'll just say that this is a remake of a rated R podcast from 27 years ago.
Yeah.
And this is the PG-13 version.
This is a remake of the audio commentary podcast we did 5 years ago.
Yeah.
It's like, hey, some of them were chatting there.
You want to be in a RoboCop remake and look like Black Jimmy Carter?
I can get that. Yeah, he's not saying no to a lot.
No.
Yeah, well, I think it's just the same thing. It's just like, you know, that's his job, you know. It's just like, they say, we want you to do this. You just, like, Christopher Walken does, like, everything. Like, yeah. Let him do everything. Like, you should be working.
Well, and Samuel L. Jackson, like Christopher Walken, kind of gets paid to be Samuel L. Jackson, which sometimes you don't want to see for 2 hours, but yeah. If you see it for, like, 2.5 minutes, it's amazing.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
why
yeah.
wouldn't you do all these cameos that just boost your career?
But then he can do something like Django and get lost in the role, and you're like, all right, this is cool.
Yeah, that was unlike any performance I'd seen Samuel Jackson. Yeah. Have you seen Django yet?
No, not yet. I'm behind
I'll
the
lend
times.
It to you. You can't.
He is a great
you
actor.
You cannot watch that in the street.
I've heard.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I mean, he's great, but it's like, you're right, he's always kind of like playing a version of himself.
Well, he's getting to that De Niro, Pacino, Nicholson phase where it's like, you know they can act, they just don't want to.
Yeah.
You know?
I'm here.
Yeah, like every 5 years I'll do
Morgan
something
Freeman
where I try.
Is Morgan Freeman.
Yes.
Remember yeah. when I tried? I don't.
How many times has he played God? He's been God like 6 times.
God.
You know what
yeah.
I mean? It's like, that's gotta
I've
be
been
kind of
God
record.
When I've been driving white women to church.
I'm no God of white women.
They think I'm taking them to God, but they don't realize he's already there next to
them. They can't drive themselves through my divine intervention. That they get anywhere. If I do Morgan Freeman for more than 90 seconds, I just start doing Billy Dee Williams. It starts as Morgan Freeman, and then it just turns into this, and I can do this all day.
Man, how awesome would it have been if we got Black Two-Face?
I know, I still think about that. Well, that's
that
what I was saying before,
awesome.
Was Tim Burton was in meetings for the third movie that eventually went to Schumacher.
Billy Dent Williams.
Yeah. And in the middle of it, Tim Burton stood up and went, hey, you guys don't want me to do another one, do you? And they were like, no, we really don't. It's like, good, I don't want
to. He didn't want to do a third one? Wasn't Michael Keaton ready to like do the origin?
He was big enough, he just wanted to do like Ed Wood and stuff. Well, Michael Keaton, they talked to for a couple of weeks of like staying on, and then he just...
After
Burton left, he's like, nah, I don't want to do it.
Yeah, didn't you? So you said, I don't know, though, we probably didn't record this, but I think you said at some point, like, the only Batman everyone was, like, on board was, like, George Clooney. Is that true? Or was, like, I don't remember.
No, I was not on board with George Clooney.
Was anyone?
We were saying the only Bond everyone was on board with was Pierce Brosnan. And those movies did not.
He did one good one, and then the rest
were. They
were
successful, though, right?
Yeah, yeah, they're not.
They
watch them again.
But they're awful. The only good one is
GoldenEye. The first one is good.
Great,
but
yeah.
Man, they fall apart really quick.
But he's good as Bond.
Yeah, I liked him as Bond. But I do not like those movies. It's kind of like, that's how I feel about Andrew Garfield in Amazing Spider-Man. I really like him as Spider-Man. He's built like a Bagley drawing.
Yeah, yeah.
He's like got broody Parker, but he's also got like hip Parker that like hot woman will fall in love with.
But the rating's terrible.
It's like,
yeah,
right,
the movie was
right
awful.
Spider-Man, wrong movie.
Yeah.
Because
you
can't
even
imagine.
Avenge Ben's death. Like, that's your one opening move.
All he did was like pick on blonde-haired criminals.
Yeah, blonde
for like half an hour.
Basically wrestlers.
Yeah,
guys with like
he went after anyone that looked like Hulk Hogan.
Guys with blonde Jerry curl and half beards. That
was so stupid.
I know, and
he was racist towards those
even,
people.
He didn't even stop every criminal. He's like with,
just those
he's
guys.
With Dennis
just
Leary
those guys.
For
yeah.
30 minutes, and he doesn't even stop him for thievery.
I think statute of limitations runs out when you're a cop.
He switched sides.
Yeah, I keep hoping that Amazing Spider-Man's going to be better, and I know it's not going to be.
That trailer kind of looks like...
Again, I'm in this fucking rhino suit.
I'm a rhino! I just think it's like, that's such a mess. It's like three villains. The rhino's a transformer. Electro's
yeah.
a blue guy. And the hobgoblin is Harry Osborn. It's like, what?
Yeah, again.
Like, what are we looking at?
The costume looks good.
The costume, because it's the most accurate,
it's the
I think,
most
and I think
comic
that's...
accurate one they've done.
Yeah, and that's a rumor we keep hearing about the Batman suit, is Kevin Smith won't shut up about it. He's like, it looks just like a Capula drawing or Jim Lee, and it's like, I don't know. I don't know how I feel about this.
Well, how do you feel about Jesse Eisenberg?
Yeah.
Mike?
I get where they're going with it, and I don't think that it's necessarily wrong. It makes sense. Do I want to see it? I mean, I don't have a choice.
Yeah, I feel like that. That's what I was saying right before we recorded. I watched 1 hour of Man of Steel because it feels like I'm paying my taxes.
Yeah.
It's like, all right, let's just get this over with.
Yeah.
It'll be 2 hours, maybe Maybe afterwards we can get something to eat.
There's hundreds of hours of amazing Superman stories, and it's not one of them.
Yeah.
You know.
But are we at a place now? Don't we have enough superhero media that, I mean, certainly nobody reads every comic. Do we have to see every movie? Nobody's watching Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. anymore, so we don't have to watch every TV show.
Yeah, they don't need to make, like, Ghost Rider 3, you know what I mean? It's just like,
I would be shocked if they did.
I'm a huge Aldi fan, but I won't watch Arrow.
Yeah.
Yeah, I have not watched Arrow. And my problem with Arrow is every poster is a topless guy. So I'm like, Well, what are you trying to sell me?
Yeah, it's kind of
You're
weird.
Trying to sell me Smallville, but, like,
no beard,
less wholesome.
No buys.
I think it's just like with Eisenberg or whatever.
It's got
like,
stubble. That's a WB beard.
You know, he looks like a 12-year-old.
That's what I think.
A W beard.
W beard. That's what I was saying. I think I posted on the page when they were talking about Gotham. And they were saying, oh, it's on Fox. It'd be different. I was like, yeah, if it was on a WB, be a 25-year-old model with a stubble goatee and hipster glasses. And that would be Jim Gordon.
But since it's Fox, it'll be 28.
Yeah,
right. But I love the Gotham. It's like, you know what I hate the most about Batman? Batman. Thank God they got rid of Batman in a Batman. I mean, if they do it like GCPD, I'm all
for.
I mean,
yeah, that's Gotham, what Central. For. Gotham Central.
Gotham Central.
That's
incredible.
What I meant.
Yeah,
right.
What I meant. Yeah.
But they won't. They'll skate around. It'll be the same shit where they'll like skate around. You know, Batman teasing Batman. Young Bruce Wayne's gonna be in
the
show.
Well, that's what.
And it's just like, who?
You've broken the comedy condo.
Don't record that. I was going to gloss over it, John.
But it's sharp. It was cracking noises.
Sickening snap on the podcast. You could have told them, like, I broke my leg or something.
Oh, and that would have no repercussions.
I don't know.
I've shattered my femur. Let's keep talking about Gotham.
Because it's important, John. Young Bruce Wayne's going to be in this show, and it's going to be...
That was what ruined it for me, because I thought it was going to be, like... Which Gotham Central was, what happens when Batman's off with the Justice League? Or in this shitty Batman vs. Superman movie?
Well, that's what they always do.
And,
it's like...
And the Joker attacks, how do the cops handle it? That's what made that book great.
But with Smallville, it's, you know, like, was like, no tights, no flight. But it's like, I know you're building up to it, and the only reason you can is because you can't afford it.
Yeah.
But, you know, but that's
I heard it was a rights thing, too. It was like Star Trek, they weren't allowed to put him in the costume. To save him for Superman Returns.
That's stupid.
And there are weird rights like that because you were never allowed to see the Enterprise E in any episode of the television show after First Contact because they said in the contract they saved it for the movies.
Yeah, you know,
so
I
like
heard...
the last episode of Deep Space Nine, they were like, here's every ship in the fleet except the Enterprise.
Except the one you're looking for.
Yeah.
Yeah, I heard it was the same thing with like Justice League. They were making all these Batman movies.
The Bat Embargo.
Yeah, and they were like, you can't use any
of
villains.
The Batman.
Right.
So that show was horrible on two levels.
Yeah, it was like, took a dump on a good show.
Not only was it a bad show, it prevented other shows
from being better. Yeah.
Oh, the Batman?
Well, because they couldn't use any of the Batman villains in Justice League. And it's like, they're doing like the crime syndicate or something, or they're doing like a group of villains.
Because some
like,
of them are in season two, like Joker.
Yeah, Joker's in season two. And then by the time Unlimited comes around.
Gone. And same thing, Aquaman. It's like, they were going to do
this Aquaman.
And then
the last season of the Batman just tried to turn it into Justice League.
Yeah.
And that was terrible.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was like a team up every episode.
It was the best of that show because they hired Alan Burnett to try to turn around, but... You couldn't turn around that fast.
I love Brave and the Bold, though.
That show's pretty great.
Good.
And it's Aquaman's the best thing in that show.
Yeah.
Yep, John DiMaggio.
Yeah. And he's a beard. He's rocking the beard in that show, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I don't know how I feel about like a guy. It's like a guy who's underwater all the time. He's got this big, awesome beard. It's like, I don't know.
They made him Hercules.
He always has hair.
But I think it should be like flowing. Like
no, it's awesome.
All the time.
There were times they drew it like that.
I think it's good.
There
I just think they need
they
to.
They made him Hercules. He was Marvel's Hercules.
They made him Conan of the Sea,
pretty
much.
But he was a Hercules from the 60s movies, which the Marvel Hercules was based on.
Yeah.
That
and I love that character.
Dave was just telling me, he was talking about Avengers, and he's like, who do you like? And I was listening, you know, pretty much everybody. And I listened, Hercules, he's like, fuck Hercules. And I'm like, what do you mean, fuck Hercules? Like, he's just, like, awesome. Like, this is a guy who invited himself into the Avengers.
He was great.
And was
he
like,
would call
hey.
Wasp a cow.
Yeah. You know, but he's like, hang out at the Avengers, and he'd get blasted and, like, wreck all their furniture. And they'd be like, Thor's not on the team, we can't get him out of here. You know, it's like,
I take no orders from some strumpet.
He's always eating a chicken leg.
Yeah.
I love those. Did you ever read those limited series that Bob Layton did in the 80s with like Hercules in space?
Oh, Galactus?
No, that sounds awful.
He finds one with Galactus. They're great because he's just he's just in space and he doesn't care.
Prince of Power, right?
Yeah, Prince of Power, and then I think the first one was just called Hercules.
Yeah.
But they did them both in a premiere hardcover.
That's awesome.
They were fun. You have this weird thing about Avengers. There's nothing in Avengers that you don't like.
I don't like New Avengers. I mean, it's a good story, but it went on too long, and Luke Cage and all those other guys aren't
Avengers. Do you like
Avengers.
The Crossing? Do you like Teen Tony?
No. I didn't. That was awful.
Do you like the Liefeld Avengers?
No. I don't think anyone likes the Liefeld anything. He does have fans, though. Isn't it insane that there's people out there who, like, I heard Liefeld's doing a cover of, like, Red Sonja or Turok or whatever the hell he's doing. Like, Dynamite's releasing it. I have people, like, calling, asking about this variant. I'm like, well, I'm not going to order this.
Yeah. Yeah, but Vanilla Ice is still on celebrity reality shows.
Yeah.
10 years later.
You wait 20 years. Nostalgia is always 20 years later.
It's
because
cyclical.
Because you used to be 20 years old and you were into this. Now you're 40 years old and your life is very different and you kind of want to be 20 years old again.
Nah.
And if that means listening to Vanilla Ice and reading Rob Liefeld X-Force, so be it. Because I'm never going to die.
But the part of you that shits on that is also the part of you that's hiding the fact that you thought it was cool at one point.
No, that's the thing. It's like, I never got into Liefeld art. I remember being a kid, and that was like the prime time. I should be into all this 90s crap, like Chris Dixon on the last show. But it's like, I remember even seeing, like, this is horse shit. And, like, I remember even, like, the cartoon. I was like, who the hell is this? Like, I just remembered, like, the X-Men cartoon. They were doing all this crazy stuff. And I'm just like, no, I want the Brotherhood, and I want the, you know, I don't know. I just think it's just like...
Did you even like 90s X-Men characters on the Fox cartoon? Because you're the target demographic.
That's what I'm saying.
Because you're even younger than Mike. So that's like... You're like 5 when that movie...
Yeah, I don't know when that show came out, but I was like I was watching it every week, but I was just like...
It's the same year as Batman the Animated Series. I'm in college at that point.
That's 92. September 92.
Yeah, it's because Batman the Animated Series comes out the fall after Batman Returns. And then that blew me away. And then it was on for like a solid 2 months every day. And then they were like, and here's X-Men. And I watched the first one. I was like, what?
Yeah.
You know what it is?
I never took it seriously ever again.
The problem I have with the X-Men in the 90s is I had seen that Pride of the X-Men, that trailer, or the, what do you call it, a pilot? They were going to do a different one. And I'm like, those are the X-Men I want. I want Cyclops in the Cockrum uniform. And I want, you know, Colossus on the team and Storm in that.
Dude, that cartoon is so bad.
Oh, I see. I
the
love
animation
that
was better.
The animation was a lot better.
It was built on that G.I. Joe.
Yeah, where it was like
But Juggernaut's in the Brotherhood.
Yeah, I don't care.
Because they were turning it into Cobra. They were like, okay, here's all the villains we got.
And they'd fight
them
every
on one
week,
team.
And I would have loved
before, like, Mr. Sinister and Apocalypse were created.
Yeah, which is good. They suck.
Yeah, they do suck.
They don't do anything.
And they're the same guy.
They just make promises.
Pretty much, yeah.
They're politicians.
Darkseid sucks. I fucking hate Darkseid.
I like Darkseid because he's like an evil thing and he can shoot laser beams out of his eye and follow you around.
But he never is like, they never fulfill the promise.
He knows.
Well, because to fulfill the promise, you have to destroy the DC universe.
But that's
he's the biggest threat, so you can't pay off that threat without
that's
ending
the problem.
Everything.
It's like the Galactus problem. It's like every time Galactus shows up and fails to eat the Earth, he sucks at what he does. Like, that's his job. And he can destroy the Skrull homeworld and all these other... But he's like, he can't get Earth, and like we don't even have like a space army.
Well, they always
says, no one has defied me, I'm like, every issue, you've been defied.
Yeah, I was like, Mr. Fantastic by
himself.
That's
like the Watcher going, I can't get involved. Then why are you in the Baxter building? Right.
Ramble and Roy just told me the last time you were defeated.
In an asterisk. And it wrote the word Natch after it. I don't even know what that means.
What does that mean? But yeah, they used... we were talking earlier, that dark side... They used him in that Justice League War. You haven't seen this, right, John?
I haven't. No, you guys have both seen this.
Yeah.
And I saw you posting on Facebook.
Give it 5 Sideshow Bob rakes in the face.
Here's my question. Worse or the same as the book? Is it worse than this?
Worse.
I'd say it's worse, because at least the book, it's like Jim Lee's sometimes on in that book, and it's a little prettier to look at.
I felt like that whole book was just an excuse for Jim Lee splash pages of all the DC characters fighting Darkseid, and I was like, I'm okay with that. I'll buy the hardcover and then I'll walk away.
Yeah, Darkseid is like...
So I thought the movie was going to be that. Like, if it was a big animated good fight
scene. Here's why it's worse, because that dialogue is bad enough on the page, but hearing out loud...
Is even... Yeah.
The Wonder Woman, I like ice cream. Can I have some ice cream? Scene is the most retarded.
There's a scene where she just orders ice cream?
A kid gives her like ice cream and she just...
It's in the comic.
Is it in the comic?
Yeah, it is.
I don't remember that.
I don't remember that.
What is this treat?
Was it a splash page where she was kicking a parademon in the face? Because that's all I remember from those 6 issues.
No, she... a little girl has ice cream and then it falls. And she takes a sword to an ice cream vendor's face and goes, I would like to try some of your ice cream, sir. Whatever you say, man.
So basically, it's supposed to be Thor in the diner.
And then she's
like, I like this drink, smashing coffee.
But it's like more absurd because it's, I understand, you know, she's never had ice cream. She wants to get excited about ice cream. I love ice cream too. Let's all get excited. But she's like waving this sword around.
Let's all get excited. Let's just take a moment to get really excited about ice cream.
Here's what I would
right
love if the ice cream completely destroyed her Amazonian physiology.
That would have been awesome.
It actually did what ice cream did. Ice cream is actually the biggest supervillain to women.
Gives her diabetes.
You're not wearing a bikini with them thighs, are you?
But it's like she's swinging the sword around like
fire after about 7 ice cream sandwiches.
Like a vendor, and it's just like she's like brain damaged. It's like it's not like she doesn't know how to interact with people. She's from an island of people.
She just seems retarded.
She's kind of just like, well, you ask for ice cream, so you swing a sword in somebody's face. You don't go around on Themyscira swinging swords in people's face asking for fucking food. Why would she do it here? It doesn't make any sense.
And that's a shame because they already did that as a Wonder Woman movie with Gail Simone that was amazing.
Yeah.
That's one of the best animated movies they did.
Yeah.
But it's like, hey, let's do it again, but terrible.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I mean, the thing, like, Cyborg doesn't work. They keep pushing him. He just doesn't work.
No one cares, man.
But the funny thing is that Teen Titans Go is huge, and he's working like gangbusters in there.
Yeah, it's
the
straight
man. But it's like, so leave him out of the Justice League and just enjoy the fact that Teen Titans Go is such a big hit.
But they're trying to make him this cool, you know, tortured character.
And I think that's Geoff Johns. That's just Geoff Johns saying, I like Cyborg.
And Geoff Johns is unfunny. The thing. He's trying to do Millar. Like, this is his attempt at Ultimates, but it has none of the humor or wackiness.
I remember, that's one of the reasons I love his Green Lantern so much, because he's so unfunny that he does horror really, really well. Yeah. So all the Sinestro Corps characters.
Black Hand,
first Larfleet story.
Creepy, Yellow Lanterns.
They're scary as hell, so it's like, stop trying to be funny.
The Captain Cold issue of Flash.
And while we're at it, stop getting hired for Robot Chicken.
Yeah.
But it was, I think, like, you know, he does all this horse stuff, but then it's like...
Not everybody can do everything!
They try to do this, like you said, this, like, ultimate thing. It's like fucking Darkseid's, like, 20 feet tall, and his, like, whole hand just, like, encompasses Superman's
body. So when they
did
a figure... How much did that figure cost?
It was, like, $90 for this, like, huge figure. It was, like...
For, like, a 12-inch Darkseid figure.
Yeah, it was ridiculous, but
I think what he does on Robot Chicken is, they do Flash, you know, jokes and make sure that they're about Barry and not Wally. Which, fuck that
motherfucker.
That's
his whole agenda.
Man, fuck that whitewashing of Wally, who's a much better character.
Yes. Yeah.
Fuck a bunch of making Amanda Waller thin. That still angers
me. Yeah, what's
me.
The point of that? Was it because of the Green Lantern movie?
I'm pretty sure they're trying to make Amanda Waller like their version of Nick Fury.
But I love the fact that she wasn't. It was like, it was so rare.
No one
that
else looks like that in comic books.
Yeah, it was so rare. You saw like a fat black woman who was in charge.
A fat anybody.
There's that classic, like,
unless they're a bad guy, like the Blob or Kingpin. Or,
but there's that classic cover of Suicide Squad where she's pointing a finger right at his face.
Yes, in Batman's face.
Yeah. Or
now, those are underrated comics of John Ostrander.
Oh, phenomenal.
Suicide Squad.
Yeah, Luke McDonald, Where she's like 5 feet tall. In the cartoon, she's awesome. CCH Pounder. She could tell him, like, where he, like, jumps in on her in the shower.
Batman shows up in the shower. She's like, get out of my bathroom. She's not even scared for a minute.
Fuck you, motherfucker. She's awesome. And then it's like, nope, she's everyone else now. She looks like everyone. Is that Misty Knight? Oh, no.
It's Amanda Waller redesign.
Taking Barb out of
photon.
The chair. Like, that too, like... That's the thing. What are those two things saying to young kids? Like, what is the message of that? That, you know, if you're disabled or if you're obese, there aren't many role models. There aren't many heroes. And that you had two.
And they took them away.
Yeah. It's so
that's why every 5 years they give Professor X his legs back.
Oh,
it's like, I don't need him with legs. What's he doing? It's not like he's... Now, it's not like he's any use in a fight.
It's like they keep trying to push him. It's like, oh, he's going to be a leader now and join him in this fight. But like you said, it's like, he's got mind control powers. He can do that shit in the shower. Do you know what I mean? It's like
he doesn't
need
home. He's got a big round room.
Right.
He puts on a fishbowl and he controls everyone on the planet.
Right.
And he fucks space bird ladies. It's awesome.
Yeah. Because that's what he likes. And apparently they don't need penises to be erect.
Yeah.
They're like, all I need is for a man to move his neck. Well, I can help
It doesn't
you.
Have to be Shi'ar. It could be Shi'off.
Doesn't have to be a full glance, just a Shi'ar. So have you gotten out? So this is a full week in Chicago in the worst weather possible.
Yeah.
So you've seen a lot of this condo.
All I have done in this icy world is pine for my Nora. So beautiful. We used to walk out on a warm summer's day. Those memories are denied to me, Batman. I realize that's also my Morgan Freeman. I have no range.
We all know what you're going for.
Yeah, I feel like if you just said that louder and angrier, it would become Michael Dorn.
Morgan Freeman as Mr. Freeze with the dimples are just snowflakes would be the most.
That'd be great.
And he has penguins as henchmen, but he narrates their adventures.
Oh, I like that.
They traveled over a year to get here, Batman.
Would it be great if Mr. Freeze just did March of the Penguin and he just told stories about penguin doing things? And then Oswald Cobblepot went back to
March
the
March of the Penguins
Lounge.
With rocket launchers on their back. And then they walked across the place to the music store that had a guitar in front of it and shot their rocket. So he drowns babies and then he just sends penguins with rocket
launchers.
To their
death, too.
I always say the one thing I really like about Danny DeVito as Penguin is every now and then it slips through on It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia. when he gets naked and greased and really depraved, all of a sudden he turns into the penguin.
He, like, regresses back to, like, old roles, you know?
It's Louis De Palma sometimes.
If you watch that, like, big climax at the end of Batman Returns 2, there's 15,000 penguins. Where do they all come from?
The abandoned zoo.
The zoo's got maybe 12 penguins tops. Like, Brookfield Zoo.
No, they've been breeding.
No,
they've been breeding like penguins.
He's been busy.
All the other animals died off, but
penguins are the opposite
well.
Of pandas, all right? Right. They may be black and white, but they fuck all right.
They have no problem taking care of business.
You know, they all look essentially the same, so you don't see unattractive penguins.
I guess that's true.
I just wanted to see him bite Charlie's nose.
I think we will.
There was an amazing moment when it was on AMC, because Batman Returns is an American movie classic. And
I say so.
And I'm watching it, and there was this place in Williamsburg called Action Burger, and it's like a comic book themed burger place, and it's awesome.
That sounds pretty awesome.
And they always have superhero movies on. It's on Batman Returns is on AMC, and
that would be like if Back Alley Burger just moved into your store.
Yeah,
it'd be like a combination.
How great would that be?
And awesome. So me and this guy are debating whether or not they're going to show the nose biting scene
in Batman Returns.
Yeah, and then and I'm like, I bet they will. I bet they will. And he's like, No, they won't. And then they show it, and we both were like, yeah! It's the most I'd ever been excited about that movie. The blood guy, and that guy looks like the nerdiest, whitest guy.
Oh, he's a yuppie at the end of the yuppie era.
Yeah, and so Jan, like, he's
and
with Jan Hooks.
Yeah. And Jan Hooks is playing that
like,
up.
He looks like every white guy in a rap video. Excuse me, what's this racket?
Turn that down.
Ow, my nose.
I would love to see if
he's
done
he's
anything
bit by
else.
A whiter man. Yeah. That's the only difference.
A greener man. Who bleeds green.
A bluish. Yeah, what was that all about?
I don't know. Ben asked me that too. He's like, why does he have green blood? Because he's the Penguin.
He's cold-blooded.
Yeah, there you go.
Well, it's Christopher Walken's son doing a Christopher Walken impression. I mean.
Don, save yourself. It's the same reason Willem Dafoe and James Franco got the same wig in Spider-Man, which was not the cornrows.
Oh, yeah. My favorite character, the sad expository butler. Your father was a bad man. He just comes at the end of the like,
for no reason.
No, he's not in the movie at all.
He's just
like, your father only lost himself at his work. I auditioned for Christopher Nolan, and he said Michael Caine was a lock.
Oh, man. Can we talk about Jeremy Irons as Alfred?
Yeah.
I'm okay with that. But my question is, why the fuck is Alfred in this movie? How many more characters are going to be in this thing?
If you live long enough as a British actor, you will see yourself be Alfred. You know that Tim Curry's just waiting it out. Next in line.
He's the next reboot.
You're either Alfred, and then 10 years later, you're a wizard.
Yeah.
That's it. I'm hoping. So like Ian McKellen has missed his Alfred window.
Oh, yeah. He's I'm hoping they do like the badass Alfred, you know, like the Alfred who's like a former like British Special
Beware
Forces.
The Batman.
That's
yeah,
it.
Yeah, the Earth One Alfred.
Because it should just get as more ridiculous than it already is. Like,
I think if anyone
just
could pull that off, Jeremy Irons.
Jeremy Irons,
yeah, that's what
that.
I'm thinking. He could just balloon this movie into just like this hot mess.
What is the plot of this movie going to be with all these people? There's rumors of Josh Holloway being Aquaman. It's like, is it a Justice League movie? And if it's a Justice League movie in it, I have almost never seen Alfred in a Justice League episode. Because there's no room.
He's in
so many characters.
The crossover one where they all hide out at Wayne Mansion from, like, the Hawk people.
And that's the only time.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's like everybody has to go to the Batcave for Alfred to show up. You're not going to put Alfred on the Watchtower.
Well, here's an issue.
You do monitor duty.
Here's an issue, too. That means that, like, this Batman and this Wonder Woman let the Kryptonian invasion happen and did shit to stop it.
Right.
So they're already not
here. Because
heroes.
This is obviously not the Christian Bale Batman.
No, this is Man of Steel continuity.
Yeah.
And that was television, worldwide, broadcast,
everyone
huge
saw
invasion.
Yeah.
Right.
And they don't pitch in at all. What the fuck?
But it wasn't in Gotham City.
Yeah, it's like the anti-Avengers. Is what it is. It's like, well, there's something huge happening. Let's not get together.
Yeah, and everything
that.
I've read, too, they make it seem like, because Ben Affleck's a little older, they're like, well, he's been Batman for a while.
This is supposed to be grizzled, you know, Grant Morrison, I can do anything Batman.
Right. And that's what's weird about it, is this, like, well, if he was around, like you said, it's like,
why
didn't you get in the Batplane and blow up some fucking, where were you?
Now, as I was saying right before we recorded, I'm 1 hour into Man of Steel, and I was never so happy to be too tired to watch a movie, so I haven't finished it.
Where'd you end up? Like, where did you
leave? Zod demanded that Superman surrender, and by the way, let's grab this reporter for no reason. That's where I stopped.
Oh, so you haven't even seen, like, the first fight with the Kryptonians?
No, in fact, I watched the last 10 minutes with the display button on, so I could wait for a chapter break to stop.
Yeah.
So I don't even think I was paying attention to what I saw, but I don't see why this is in continuity and Green Lantern isn't, because I don't see that it's any worse than Green Lantern now.
I'd say just as bad, and you know, like you said, it's just like, you know, if they waste time rebooting Green Lantern. And now who are they talking about? They were going to cast somebody as Green Lantern. I heard somebody's like, wait, like Denzel Washington or something.
Yeah, it's like John Stewart.
Yeah, and it's just like, does that movie count? Or
this is
like,
becoming a wizard casting call.
This is like in the 90s. The only one they ever got right was they said Patrick Stewart as Professor X.
Everyone got that one.
Yeah.
That's a freebie.
Yeah, and then they said Tom Cruise as Cyclops. I was like, nope.
That's the sample answer in a math book. That's when you're doing algebra and the sample is 1 + 2 = 3. Ah, you fucking.
And he gets it. Patrick Stewart is A, Alfred.
Well, he's Scottish and therefore.
And he's old and from the UK.
But yeah, that's the thing. It's like. And I think Marvel is genuinely. I guess that's why I'm okay with Eisenberg, because it is kind of a risk. But, like, Marvel's risks are more exciting to me. Like, Michael Douglas as Pym and Rudd as Lang.
Yeah.
I like that.
I do.
I don't know where it's going.
Yeah,
but
and
I kind of
feel like the Rashida Jones rumors are true, but I guess if...
As the Wasp?
But I don't know, because if Paul Rudd's going to be Scott Lang,
then
Rashida Jones would probably be paired up with him. They've already been in movies together, so I don't think they'd pair up with Michael Douglas, except for the fact that he's Michael Douglas. So obviously he would want a woman 40 years younger than him.
But Pym is one of my favorite characters of all time, and you know I like that. This is a really great. I mean, Douglas is awesome. He's been in a lot of great shit, and he's awesome.
Yeah.
And he can play pathos, and and who needs it more
than
him?
He can play a mentor character. He can play an active character. He can have a little edge to him. He can have
a
little humor to him.
Yeah.
He's got a range.
And I think Pym requires all of that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, especially if this is older. You know, I love the idea if he's like a second fiddle dude who couldn't cut it with Stark and couldn't cut it with these other guys and
well,
is compensating.
Well, they found an old interview with Edgar Wright where he said, and this was like before Iron Man, because he's been working on this movie since Hot Fuzz, really. And he said he wanted a flashback scene of Hank Pym in the 60s and actually make a Silver Age scene.
That's what I heard.
So
and
it
that's
could
what,
be
like
that Streets of San Francisco Michael Douglas.
And he'll be like retired and then Paul Rudd will like steal the equipment from him. But then maybe they just like make Rashida Jones Wasp and that's his girlfriend or something.
I'm cool with that. And that also means Paul Rudd in Avengers 3, which hopefully if Whedon comes back to do.
Yeah.
That sounds interesting.
Yeah.
What do you think of James Spader as Ultron?
As a voice, I think it's good. He's got that oily Jeffrey Combs kind of feel.
They're different choices. Like that's it.
Yeah.
Like I mean that is like Eisenberg. It's like okay, he's been a billionaire twerp, so I get where they're coming from.
And I think it's the twerp that's bothering people because the rumors were going around, and Cranston, yeah, and it's like it sounded like it was fan generated, and obviously he's playing an evil guy with a bald head for the last 3 years, yeah.
Right,
and doing a great job with it. But like, I would love to see Cranston as Luthor against like a young Henry Cavill Superman. Yeah. And
I thought it would have been awesome just because this movie really needs someone with chops.
Yeah,
and yeah,
it feels like it's lacking.
And it's all about faces. Yeah. I mean, I was on board with Jamie Alexander as Wonder Woman. More than Gal Gadot, but I haven't seen her in anything.
Yeah, I've
so
never seen her.
So I'm kind of holding judgment.
My problem is just like Lex Luthor is the guy who's like, he'll stand in a room and argue with Superman and like thumb in his chest kind of thing. But it's like Jesse Eisenberg, like he looks like he's 12 years old and Henry Cavill's carved out of wood. So it's like, you know what I mean? It's like, he's going to be like, no, don't be a jerk.
But I will
but
say.
But if he presses a button under his desk and a million robots come out.
Yeah.
But I will say that is who the billionaires are now. That is what, like,
it's
the billionaires
yeah, I guess
aren't
that's
the
true.
Teddy Warbucks, 70-year-old.
Yeah,
that's
they're
true.
Trust fund kids who turned a million into $5 billion.
Yeah, and, you know, this looks like a dude who would kill his parents to make that money. And that is the one thing I like about it. I think of all the casting choices that they made, it's the one that excites me the most. Just because he is a good actor, you know.
Yeah.
And I think that he could take it into place. He probably won't because Snyder's terrible.
Right.
And Snyder...
Well, that was my reticence to see Man of Steel at all. First of all, everybody who saw it didn't say it was good. I didn't run into one person who really liked it. And I was so disappointed by Watchmen. And I'm like, well, he already took the greatest comic book movie ever and made a pretty boring movie out of it.
Yeah.
Now he's just going to take a bunch of characters.
He makes YouTube fan videos.
Yeah.
It's
yeah, he
like
makes
the
mashups.
Kid who plays System of a Down music to Smallville clips. Like
that kid's got a lot of hits.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyone's got a lot of hits on YouTube these days.
The greatest thing in the world.
This week.
All right, I think this week I've been reading a book. One of the subscribers, we trade books back and forth. I gave him one of those, that Marvel Age book. He gave me this one months ago, and I finally got around to it. It's called The Night Gwen Stacy Died, and it's basically, I don't know, it's hard to explain, but basically the gist is a guy's...
Is it a prose book, or it's not a graphic novel?
It's a novel. It's okay. Not a graphic novel. And the person who wrote it, some lady, I think she's from Chicago, because it takes place mostly in Chicago, but basically it's like these people in Iowa, and this girl, she's like a teenager, and she works at this gas station, and she looks just like Gwen Stacy. And then this guy who's kind of crazy, you find out he drives a cab and goes there every night to this gas station to get gas, and on his license it says Peter Parker. So he pretty much like straight up kidnaps this girl and takes her to Chicago, and then gives her an ID that says Gwen Stacy, and like they're kind of like hiding out. And she goes along with it. She's like all for this. So I'm like halfway through the book and it's pretty good. There's a lot more stuff going on in it, but that's the gist of it. But if I was like a more prepared person, I would tell you like who wrote it. You know, stuff like that. But I don't know those things. But yeah, it's called The Night Gwen Stacy Died. Yeah, I'd give him a little bit more details. But that's pretty much the gist of it.
I'll look it up. Let's give this person credit.
Yeah, let's give him the credit. But it's... So it's pretty good. So basically, like...
Let's not LaBeouf this shit.
I wrote it.
Right, yeah.
I wrote it. Yeah, I came up with every idea.
You know what I gotta say?
Yeah, the fact that LaBeouf did that made Crystal Skull even harder to watch.
I gotta say, he's doing
and
all
it was
that
already...
Stuff. That's all deliberate.
Pretty hard.
It's pretty... I'd say this is all deliberate what this
is
guy's
it
doing.
Is it Sarah Bruni?
It's possible. I really wouldn't.
Is this it?
That's the cover.
All right, Sarah Bruni.
It's pretty cool.
I heard about that book when it came out. I read an article, I think, in Comic Book Resources.
Yeah, she clearly, when she's writing, she knows what she's talking about, because they're talking about all this like behind the scenes comic book stuff, and she's talking about like what's going on in the issues and the covers and stuff. So she knows her, you know, she knows her shit. But it's actually pretty good. So I'd recommend that to anybody who's looking for a good read. All
right, Mike.
I was reading the first few issues of the new Kurt Busiek Astro City.
Oh, is he doing a series now?
Yeah,
it came
really?
Out a few
is Brett Anderson drawing?
Yeah.
Ooh.
And it's as great as ever. I think it's one of the best comics ever.
That's awesome.
It's still good. One of the arcs was really cool. It was about a woman who works at a call center for the Honor Guard. So they handle all of the phone calls and stuff and vet out the crazies and everything. It's like really interesting shit. And then another one was it was all about people who have powers but choose to have normal jobs.
Huh.
And it's amazing. Like, Busiek has so many great ideas. They could all be series on their own.
Yeah, and that series was going since like mid-90s. Yeah, it's just whenever they have enough ideas and Brent Anderson has enough time to draw it, they just
put Planetary is the same way. That's like, you know.
Yeah, Planetary was amazing.
The same creative team, you know, they do when they can.
The 2.5 years of the 6 issues of the Steeljack saga were somewhat of a low point, but
we were talking about this last week. I got the Omnibus last week, and I had never read any Planetary, and I read the entire series in 24 hours.
Yeah. I meant Astro City.
Astro City
does the same thing, where it's just like, it's so long for them, like, finish arcs and stuff, and it's great, but it's just
when
like,
you're waiting.
You just take forever.
That's how I felt about Hellboy, too, and I eventually just stopped buying the monthly, and I'm like, you know what, I'd rather wait 2 years and read everything in a nice hardcover than buy it once every 9 months and forget what happened.
This is either the 20th or the 25th anniversary of Hellboy. We're doing like a big thing at the shop in March.
Oh, really?
It's like Hellboy Day.
Talk about it.
We don't have all the details yet. Okay. We just kind of like solicited, but basically it's going to be like Hellboy Day. It'll be like a Saturday in March, and we'll do advertising on the podcast and the Facebook and stuff.
Is there a big Hellboy book coming out?
Yeah, they're having the collection of Hellboy and Hell comes out, but it's also going to have like original material.
Oh, nice.
And then the way you participate in the sale or whatever, like somebody's going to win like original Mignola art, which is pretty cool.
Mm-hmm.
We'll have like all kinds of trades and stuff, and I'm gonna do like little red balloons. I'm gonna draw Mignola Hellboys on and stuff. Like, it's gonna be pretty cool. So that'll be I think towards the end of March, I want to say it is, but it's like the 20th or the 25th anniversary of Hellboy. It's pretty cool.
That sounds awesome. Yeah, I'm a little stuck. I mostly ran into horrible things this week. I went today. My 6-year-old Ben did stand up for the first time, and I recorded it, and it was a weird experience because it was very nerve-wracking for me. Like, it was, it's a variety show for elementary school. So what you do is take your open mic set and ratchet it down like 5 levels, where it's like, okay, several groups of a dozen girls are going to dance, and not all of them are going to dance the same way. There was a lot of that, and then the MCs were doing knock knock jokes, but they had one mic between them. So they were really long knock-knock jokes where they just go, "Hey, Doug." Yes? it was like,
slow back and forth.
There were a few times of knock-knock. Who's there? But Ben came out, and I was really nervous because when we got to the auditorium, it was full because, you know, everybody's parents were there. Renee told me there were 250 kids in the show. There were like 50 different acts. So all their parents came. So that's at least 2 people. So there were 500 people in the room. And in the
just one local theater critic.
That would be me.
This is scandalous.
But it was like, I was looking at the room and going, I have never played to a room this big.
And Ben's six.
And he came out. He did not want to say thank you.
Yeah,
exactly.
He didn't even have to bring and bark.
No. Right. He didn't have to stand out in Times Square. But he doesn't have a podcast yet.
Because he chooses to.
But I was saying to Mike before we started, it was like an alt set. He looked at his notes. He didn't make eye contact. He just ran through the jokes. He waited.
He rocked back and forth on his heels a little bit. I didn't realize how lonely you were until you made your son your recommendation for the week.
What? Lonely or selfless?
Oh, there you go. It's all about the spin,
next,
John.
Next week we have Gene Hackman as the blind man from Young Frankenstein. His recommendation is "The Way the Sun Feels on Your Face."
Okay, that and the Peter David run of Friendly Neighborhood Spider-Man, which I mentioned. Those were good.
Those are the two things.
Even though they have Iron Spider-Man on the cover, they're wearing gore.
Both disappointed me, but only one of them was my fault.
Well, Mike, you're wrapping up in Chicago tonight. How can we find you? I know you're always on Facebook. You're always on Twitter.
Yeah, at the Mike Lawrence on Twitter. I am on Facebook. I am at capacity, but don't feel popular enough to have a fan page. So I'm in a weird place.
It's a weird experience for me because... you and I met when you first came to New York, and you were more of an open micer than I was at that point. I was like, I was getting bark shows and ran my own show when you came to town.
Yeah.
And now, like, we've always just talked to Facebook as friends, and now, like, Now when I write something on your Facebook page, there's like 5 fan comments around it. Yeah. Where like you'll write a joke and I'll tag it, and then there'll be 7 comments of "You're so funny." Yeah. Like we're leading very different lives now.
Things have changed.
Yeah. And where are you next? Are you hitting any of the cities soon? Or
I'm gonna be in San Francisco Sketch Fest, February 7th and 8th, co-headlining with Emily Heller, 2 shows. That'll be awesome. She's great. And that's about it. I'm always in the city. Yeah, my podcast is Nerd of Mouth. We've had some really good episodes. We just did a 2-part series. I think it might be my favorite episode. Yeah, we just asked each other 5 questions that we came up with on the spot, varying from what's your favorite ice cream flavor to how would you make Man of Steel better?
great topics each.
Oh, yeah. And the best one was a worst Batman animated series episode. And my
co-host... Oh, the Bruce Timm series?
Yeah.
Oh, that's easy. I've got Batman in my basement.
I said The Forgotten.
Yeah, that's up there, too.
And then, no, The Underdwellers. The Underdwellers.
Oh, that was garbage.
That's the worst one. But my co-host, Jake... I was so furious. I've never been this angry on the podcast. He's like, that one where Robin's hanging out with the girl and then she turns out to be Clayface.
Are you kidding me?
Yeah.
That's amazing.
That's
Growing Pains.
Yeah. It's his second series. So they made it Tim Drake. So he was even younger. So it was like the first girl he ever fell in love with.
That's yeah, and everything
and
visual.
Animation. He's wrong.
Yeah, I know.
Go back and tell me he is wrong.
Well, he thought the ending was a cop out, but I'm like, even if you think so, the way they get there is worth it.
That's a good journey.
Yeah, he just sucks her back into his body. What else is he gonna
and
do?
And it's really sad.
He's very
Annie.
Sad.
Annie, are you okay? Are you okay, Annie?
I'm sad now.
I know.
Gotta end this. Wow.
How about to end this? How about one of us reveals we've been a clay monster the whole time?
Oh, that would be awesome. And the thing is, we're not even in human form because it's audio. We've been a big lumpy clay face. And
I can even make a lobster hand for some reason.
Right.
Because it's just the first thing I think of.
Yeah, the lobster claw.
Yes.
It's a good weapon.
It's coming at you.
Yeah, you see a lobster for inspiration.
You see a lobster claw, you think it's going to hurt.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, because he could shapeshift, but then he could also make, like, axes. And
he always makes a spiked ball mace, too. Yeah. That's another big one.
It's a good go-to.
It's like Sandman is always making cinder blocks.
Right.
Nah.
Well, look at this. The fucking Flint Mark was a pretty unimaginative fellow. I mean, this guy.
He changed his name. He was William Baker.
Was he?
He was. Yeah, I think that was just retcon because I think Stan.
Because Stanley can't remember
his name was. Well, he called the Hulk Bob Banner for like 3 issues.
Where are the editors on
Sandman
that book?
Is
how busy.
Favorite Spider-Man.
He was the editor on those books.
Yeah, he should have done a better job. Yeah, Sandman's pretty great. I liked him a lot.
My uncle was the publisher, and that's how I got the job.
And that's why I'm still at Marvel, and all my artists are dead. Actually, only one of them.
Dead or not talking to me.
Yeah. They're dead to me.
Someday I hope to do another book with Steve Ditko. And it's just like, Steve Ditko hasn't done comics in fucking 30 years. He doesn't want to talk to
me. He doesn't answer the phone.
Right.
I'm sure he's not online.
I killed Jack Kirby, and then Joe Sinnott drew a line around him.
Oh, all right, you can follow the podcast.
You end on Kirby death.
Yeah, well, we live in a world where Kirby's not alive.
Some people die with a crackle and some with a whimper.
No.
You gotta hope that.
And some die because the guy in the background is swinging a bat around and one guy is just in the corner of the panel screaming.
And all the women look like cavemen.
Yes. And somehow hot.
Yes. No. Every Kirby woman I've ever read just sounds like they should be like, how's it going?
even Sue Storm?
Yeah.
She's like a troll with a blonde wig.
You mean, you say Sue Storm, I say Commandy with tits.
That's why I like Sinnott. He softened those edges.
Yeah.
He actually put the curves in. We are so far beyond ending this show now. We're into the second episode.
Second topic.
We're Return of the King yet, right?
We faded to black 4 times.
We just keep coming back for more.
Now we're just in the puppet Hobbiton looking around. looking at the audience going, we don't know why we're here.
We need Paul Rubens to become Batmite and take this episode and put it in a sewer.
You can follow the podcast at Not In My Book. Follow us on Facebook. We've been posting news. We posted Jesse Eisenberg yesterday. So we're on top of that, and then
we're doing our job.
Yeah, give us a like on iTunes. You know what? If you have another podcast, invite us on your podcast and give us more hits. Anything that gives us more hits and makes us feel like we're doing something, because we have no goal.
That's true.
We're not doing this for any reason at all.
We could have ended this with Clayface jokes, but you had to make it about panhandling.
I could edit.
This is true. We're not too late to edit.
No, let's end with a store plug.
Oh, yay. All right. So I'm at 19 South LaGrange Road, but we are doing a clothing, winter clothing drive. So if you guys got any like old coats or hats or stuff, it's cold as balls in Chicago. So like, let's help some people stay warm.
Yeah, you've helped the purple skins and the green skin.
Oh, yeah, what
about
black skins? Help the black skins.
We're in Chicago. Yeah. It's pretty easy.
Yeah.
Caffeinated Comics is a Not In My Book production.
Take that, meatball!